Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media conciliar. Today's guest is Dr. Lisa Brock, and today's episode is brought to you by Northeast Color, 1UP Web, and iPost, the email tool built for the franchise industry. iPost puts the power of email marketing in the hands of the franchise marketer through multi-tiered accounts that eliminate fragmentation and enable franchisees to own and control all data and content. iPost gives your brand one place to support all locations' email marketing and one place to train and onboard new franchisees. Learn more at iPost.com. Dr. Lisa Brock is an experienced academic leader and scholar activist. She's consulting with brands now on diversity, equity, and inclusion, and she joins us right now on Social Geek Radio. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jack. How are you? I am fine.
I am fine as well. We're both in the Chicago area, and it is sunny and warm, though our friends in other parts of the country might not consider this warm, but I think you and I do. So it's a great day, and I'm so glad you could join us here today. Before we get into today's topic, can you give us a little bit of your background? What's your story?
Yes. Well, I'm a small town girl. I grew up in a place called Glendale, Ohio, which is about 15 miles from downtown Cincinnati. And I'm African American. And believe it or not, when I went to kindergarten in 1961, we were in the first integrated kindergarten in that area. And so I really grew up with the civil rights movement and the women's movement all around me. I became very interested in history as a young person. In fact, I'm a history geek and a trivia geek. I don't care what history it was. I love just learning about what had happened in the past, and decided to pursue that. And so I ended up getting a PhD from Northwestern University in African history, actually. And I love history, but I like to use history to inform how things happen today. So if something happens now, I can trace it back, you know, to, oh, okay, I see where that came from. And so in some ways, that's my story. I've gone on to become an academic for the last 30, 40 years, teaching history, but also being interested in social justice, especially leadership development with young people, hoping that they can continue the civil rights tradition and do what John Lewis, Congressman John Lewis, the late Congressman John mm-hmm. Lewis said, and that is to make good trouble for the betterment of all of us. Yeah.
And post-academic life, now you're doing some consulting for some brands and organizations. Is that right?
That is correct. Yes.
Tell me about the work you're doing there. What types of things are you helping these organizations out with?
Well, I've been working with Big B Coffee. I can say the mm-hmm. name, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Okay. We love Big B. In fact, I'm drinking a cup right now. So,
and me too. And I even have a cup they sent me for a present. So I'm drinking Big B Coffee out of my Big B cup. I started working with Big B because Mike McFaul, one of the co-CEOs and founders or co-CEOs, is a Kalamazoo College alum. And that's where I worked for the last 10 years before I entered this new phase. And Mike asked me, he was really moved by the things of last summer in terms of the George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter movement. And they wanted to do some things to assist and help and change and make a social impact, I guess, in the Black community. And so I guess one of the things I asked them is, well, how many Black people do you have in your company? And they, you know, honestly said, we don't really have any. And so I said, well, let's work on that first. Mm-hmm. And we've been doing that. And I think what's been really nice working with them is I've done a series of workshops with their leadership team, and they are now hiring with diversity inclusion in mind. And they've also included the Martin Luther King holiday into their holiday roster as signs and signals to diverse communities that they actually mean that, you know, they walk the walk. It's hard to do something if you yourself are not doing it. So that's what's been working well. I mean, they're a great team and I've enjoyed working with them and I'm still working with them. And hopefully we can diversify their shop and then we can talk about how to make a bigger social impact in more diverse communities.
Excellent. When you take a look at companies and brands and organizations right now, let's start with the positive. Mm-hmm. What do you see a lot of companies that you're looking at or that you're assessing? What do you see them doing right currently?
Well, I think one of the things is to, in your marketing, you have to have a diverse set of marketing protocols. So if you're going to do a commercial, you have to have different kinds of people in those commercials. If you're going to do ads, you have to have different kinds of diverse folks in those ads. But you also have to signal to people that you're interested in them. And I think a lot of companies are beginning to do that. They do that with music. They do that with cool things from, like, to say, the African-American community in terms of dance and fist bumps and high fives. All of those things actually came out of Black popular culture. And I think beginning to integrate some of those things into your strategy opens you up to other possibilities. And it's clear to me when I see that in commercials, that that means they have people in the room that are encouraging them to do that if they do it well. If you don't have people in the room, you're often not going to even think about doing some of those things. And it's not necessarily mean-spirited. It's just that it's not what you've been taught to think about. So I think that companies that bring in various kinds of people, it's going to open up the possibilities of what you can do and who you can attract. And also, young people today are very savvy. And most young people today love the diversity and equity and inclusivity that we have in this country, and they want more of it. And so I think if you want to really speak to this generation, that is the generation, let's say, under 30 or under 35 today, doing that is really cool. It's funny, sometimes I see a commercial on television and I like the commercial so much I don't remember what they were advertising. I don't know if that's good or not, but
yeah, it's good when it comes to information and education. Probably not so good when it comes to sales for that brand. So on the other end of the spectrum, where do you see companies really sort of failing or coming up short, especially in the past year or so? Is it sort of a, you know, faux attempt at doing something about inclusion? Do you see a lot of that happening right now?
Well, the term that we often use is performative versus kind of depth or real change. And I think companies need to think real hard about that. One of the things that's very disturbing in some ways is sometimes you can just say, okay, we're going to have four Black people or four Latinx people. And you go out and you find those people and you bring them in. But if they are not people who are actually bringing their, what we in history call their cultural baggage and their cultural identity with them, and they are afraid to bring that with them, then you're not really moving the needle. You have to be able to recruit people who will help you grow. And I think that's what companies need most today, is people who are going to come into the room, who are going to be welcome to speak their truths and their experience, and invite you in and have you invite them in, so that you all can have a richer company and a richer project. And so I think companies need to really think about who they hire, not just in terms of the race, but are they bringing in dynamic people with new ideas? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what companies need the most today, is to really think in some ways beyond what the person looks like. I mean, I know that's a first step, but you also have to think about what that person brings. And you also have to be welcoming. You know, sometimes you can bring in one or two or three persons of color, but they feel like it's a hostile environment for their ideas. And so that's one of the things I try to do is with companies that are largely white, is to set up a situation where they understand what racism is. They understand how these things work and have historically worked in our country, so that they are aware of the pitfalls and how not to be hostile and how to accept that they know some things and they don't know other things. And therefore they have to listen to people when they come into the company in order to retain people. That's really what you need to do. And so I think that's the big thing. And also I think one of the things companies need is they need to understand about excellence. You're not bringing in people just to fill a room or to fill a boardroom or conference table. People bring a certain asset to you. They bring in and can help you become a more excellent company in that.
It sounds like everything in your process starts with human resources and hiring and who the company is bringing in to help, whether they're trying to grow the company or expand the company. Where else do you assess a company when you start engaging a company with your services outside of hiring an HR? Are there things you're looking for that could be, you know, sort of a thread that you want to pull on and see where it leads?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting because one of the things, the way I got working with Bigby was Mike asked me if, you know, he said he wanted to make a social impact and to do something in the Black community. And when I asked, how many Black people do you have? And he said, none. I said, okay, so that's the thread we need to pull, because, and it's not just for the company, but also a company cannot go into the Black community if it hasn't really in some ways cleaned up its own shop, you know, its own house.
Yeah.
And also, so one of the things I try to do is to give companies a baseline so that they understand what's at stake, so that they can then recruit effectively and then also maintain those folks effectively. And then you can go and make the big social impact, put a new franchise in a very low income Black community, right? And you've done some things ahead of time so that that community welcomes you because they feel like you have welcomed them. So we have to be careful of what I call the colonial construct. You know, you can have a company that just goes into a Black community like a bulldozer, and that just repeats the same old problems of white supremacy. And that's not the way you need to go into a community. The community needs economic resources, but they actually want and desire equity, and they want you to see them as human beings, and they want to be treated effectively. And if you haven't kind of done your own homework, you may not do that well, you know what I mean? And so I think the thread that I pull is to take the temperature of where a company is and to see if in fact they've grown into ways that they understand how some of these things will play out in diverse communities. Because believe it or not, Jack, I can see an advertisement or I can see a commercial and I can have a sense. And even if it's in, if it looks like it's people of color, I can have a sense if it's done by someone who understands various communities deeply and for someone who's just performing an act. And I think a lot of people in communities of color can see that as well. They can see whether you really understand or whether you're doing just something to do something.
Yeah, yeah. Are you just showing up in our neighborhood to sell us something mm-hmm. as opposed to really being part of the community? And I think that's what anyone is looking for, right?
Right. I think you encapsulated all my verbiage correctly is to show up earnestly and honestly and wanting to be a part of a community and not just to make money in that community or to pat yourself on the back.
We'll be back in a moment with more with Dr. Lisa Brock after this word from Northeast Color. Northeast Color is offering franchise systems help with social distancing floor decals, signs and window decals, suspended partitions for the front desk or workout stations, parking lot signage, hand sanitizer pedestals, and signage, all fully branded and customized for your franchisees. Learn more now at northeastcolor.com. If a CEO or some other leader at any organization, and there's a lot of sort of medium-sized franchise companies that are involved in this podcast, so that's a lot of our audience. Mm-hmm. If anyone from a company like that would like to make some changes, and maybe they just don't know where to start this process, what's the first thing they should do?
Well, I think they should look for people who are trained at doing this kind of work with companies and organizations like myself. It's interesting. I've been a social justice leader in many ways all my life. And when I was asked by Big B, and I've done trainings, a lot of different trainings for different kinds of organizations, mainly academic. I've been working with the University of Missouri recently. I've been working with the Maryland Institute College of Art. And so I've been doing some work with academic organizations, and I'm just beginning into this work with mid-sized companies like Big B, and I'm really enjoying it. But I think they have to start with the understanding of, if they look around the room and they do not have people of color in the room with them at high levels, then they need to ask themselves the question, why? And if they can't figure it out themselves, they need to possibly hire a consultant like myself to help them think through why that may be. Because I think it is the first thing, but it's not the only thing, as I said before. Hashtags and stating, you know, Black Lives Matter on your website, it's not a bad thing. But if it's the only thing you do, then it's really not anything real, you know. So they really have to think more deeply and more clearly about who they want to be as a company. And I think that, you know, one of the things we do in social justice leadership development is we talk about transformation. You have to be willing to listen and to change in some ways if you want to, in fact, make these changes in your company and encourage your employees to do the same. I think some of the challenge is people are afraid that they might lose some people if they go down this path, but the amount of people they're going to gain, and if they want to be a more equitable company, it's going to be good for them. It's not going to be bad for them.
Yeah, I'm hoping most organizations at least now we'll see that you're not going to lose anything by mm-hmm. by changing and growing. Mm-hmm. Maybe in the past there had been some customers that might not want to frequent your establishment anymore. And you know what? That's okay. Those people were probably not going to be long-term good loyal customers anyway. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. And I think what you said too about the next generation, the Gen Zers out there who grew up in a very different world than the world you and I grew up in. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to expect, regardless of who they are and where they came from, they're going to expect organizations and brands to act very differently than brands acted in the, you know, 1960s and 1970s.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Dr. Brock, thanks so much for being here today. I hope we can catch up again soon down the road. In the meantime, if any of our listeners would like to connect, learn a little bit more about your work, where can we send them?
Please send them to LinkedIn. That's the best place to find me these days.
Excellent. Will do. We'll have your link to LinkedIn on today's show notes. Thank you so much, and we will talk with you soon.
Thank you, Jack. Great, great talking with you.
Before we go, a resource I'm recommending that all marketers, especially those working with franchise brands, check out is oneupweb.com/franchise. Lots of free franchise marketing resources here, like an SEO audit template, a guide to Google local listings for franchise businesses, and more. My favorite is OneUpWeb's new Franchise Marketing Playbook. It's a guide for franchisors to support their marketing efforts at all levels of a system. It has specific tips for working with franchisees, and it includes some post-COVID data and insights. OneUpWeb is an enterprise digital marketing agency and AOR for many great franchises with over 20 years of digital marketing experience. Learn more at oneupweb.com/franchise. And thanks for listening to Social Geek. We're here to help you get yourself ready for the comeback of a lifetime. This is the Social Geek Radio Network.